Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We talked about this before we went to break with John Schumann. If you missed any of that, that's available on the Odyssey app. And you can check out the entire interview as well as Matt Wilhelm, who we talked to today, or Nick Shook. And that is at odyssey.com on the Baskin and Phelps podcast. Jeff, when you look at that Cavs roster and you say to yourself, okay, this is core. This isn't going anywhere. This is staying here. This is going there. This is going there. Who on this roster can bring you back some kind of a return? Are you trading draft picks? Or if you needed to...
Trade draft picks?
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, I forgot about this. I'm sorry. I thought I was talking about the Browns for a second. Sorry, I was talking about the Browns.
We'll get it fixed.
Thank you, yes. I didn't realize there was going to be, a six-year window between first-round draft picks between the Browns and the Cavs? Yeah, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Who is a viable piece that you think other teams would look at and go, hey, we could use him. Yeah, okay, maybe we could do that. We're willing to make a deal on a contract that we really don't feel like dealing with. Yeah.
By the way, just to back up a previous conversation.
Yeah, which one?
Andy ran down to the store and brought me a beverage.
Oh,
I never said a word. He just brought me a pop. What a nice fella.
Hard work sitting up here talking for 4 hours a day, Jeff.
Sure is.
Sometimes a man just needs to be with his crew and drink some suds.
I think if the Cavs make some kind of a move before the trade deadline coming up February 6th, it might be one of those where you trade something that you think is not going to bring you back much, and you get back a contract or something. And I don't know where their money is and everything else and what they can absorb right now. But you might, maybe you give up a young player because a team's looking to bail on a contract, something like that. You give up a future second round pick and you bring back, a real player, rather than maybe moving some guys off the roster right now. If you're another team, you might have an interest in a guy like Craig Porter Jr., good young point guard, maybe with some potential. I wouldn't move Sam Merrill. I like Sam's shot. Strus brings, I think, some real interesting skills to the game. Ty Jerome as well. I wouldn't move Ty. And because you have Ty, you might be able to move Craig Porter. You have Donovan and Darius who can handle the ball, can run point. And then Ty Jerome. Do you need four? So if you're looking for a guy, maybe it's Craig Porter Jr. And the Cavs signed him. He's under contract. I wouldn't move Jalen Tyson. I think he's really intriguing. He was their first-round draft choice this year, and he's 6'6", plays on the wing, and can handle the ball. So, you could move Isaac Okoro. I know they scream about what a great defender he is and everything else. If there's a guy who might be odd man out from time to time with playing time, maybe it's Isaac. And if someone is really intrigued by Isaac, I wouldn't let all of the talk that, boy, he's a terrific defender, get in my way.
Right. Is he the best of the group you're talking about here? Who's your best player that you can trade away? That's the hard part.
There's not a best player I want to trade away. For instance, the way these pieces work together, outside of the four guys, I like Dean Wade. and he's got a reasonable contract. George Niang serves a real purpose. Max Strus, I think, brings a lot to the game. Sam Merrill, I think, is your best shooter. And I don't want to move Jalen Tyson. That leaves, what, Luke Travers, Tristan, Craig Porter, JT Thor, and Isaac. And I can't imagine teams banging down the door for those guys. So that's why I say it could be like a future second-round pick or something like that.
Oh, second-round pick for sure. You're right. Like, I was like, is it just 3 years they don't have a first-round pick?
Oh, no, it's five.
They don't see a first-round pick till 2030.
Well, but they do have pick swaps for two of those years.
For?
With Utah.
Okay.
The whichever team has the best record, Utah gets that pick. Or the better draft position, Utah gets that pick. So the Cavs traded for Donovan Mitchell.
Right.
A first rounder in what, this 2025, so 27, and 29, and then pick swaps in 26 and 28, if my recollection is correct.
So just looking at our outgoing draft picks.
I've been trying to forget how much they gave up.
In 2026, Utah will receive the most favorable
right.
of the 2026 first rounder.
And 2028, same deal.
As I keep looking through this, it's
so
just
it's 5 years of first round picks, but the Cavs will have one in two of those years, 26 and 28. And they
because you have to, right?
And they can't trade them because of the Stepien rule.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Stepien. You did something good, right?
Well, yeah, you screwed it up so bad, the NBA stepped in.
You got your own rule about it. Are we concerned?
Where's Mike Bratz?
Thanks. Are we concerned about the fact that when you look at this team and Donovan Mitchell's scoring under 20 for the last four games, does that do anything for you? Does that concern you?
I think guys go – sometimes guys are bothered by something. I have no idea if he has an injury or something. Maybe he's working through, you know, some kind of an injury. I don't know. And, no, it doesn't bother me. As long as Donovan's healthy, he'll produce. Remember, he's being asked to do a little different role this year. And I think it's the best thing that could happen to this team, and I think the wins and losses represent that. You know, I don't like ball-dominant basketball, right?
No, you never have, never will. I think there's a lot of folks that would rather see the ball move and not
yeah.
stick.
And look what, it's done for the team. You know, Kenny Atkinson's offense has been terrific, and I think it's been a key part, and Evan Mobley's more than what he was, and Jared Allen is contributing a ton, and Darius has improved, and Donovan's not scoring quite as much or holding the ball and having the ball quite as much, and that's okay. You just because you're the highest-paid player and probably the best player on the team, I say probably because I keep hoping Evan becomes that,
mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you have to, you know, score 30 points a game and have the ball all the time. It's a team game. Best team wins.
Yeah, Donovan hasn't been the leading scorer since December 27th against Denver. He had 33. Just double-checking that. Yep.
That's all right.
So, yeah. Although when you have Allen and Mobley, I mean, you don't have to be
well,
the leading scorer.
You have balanced scoring. You know? I mean, Andy, this is what I love in a basketball team.
I think everybody
you play pretty decent defense, right? And I'm not going to say great defense because you're playing pretty decent defense. You're not holding teams to 80, but your tempo wouldn't allow that anyway, you know, because you're getting up and down the floor like crazy. You're moving the ball. You're sharing the ball. You're spacing the floor. And you're giving everybody a chance to contribute offensively. And I think it's made them a better team.
You got Indiana tonight. Right, and then you've got Oklahoma City on Thursday. So this is not an easy
week.
Both those games are on national TV, too.
Indiana. Indiana's pretty good.
What do you not like the matchup, or do you just like the team in general?
No, I like Indiana's team. I like them. Without Tyrese Halliburton, they're not the same.
Oklahoma City out for blood on Thursday night?
No, it's regular season.
I agree. It is. I want to sit here and play the hype machine and go.
You can't.
Oh, man. Cavs, Oklahoma Andy? City. Remember that last game? Allen had 25. The Cavaliers were able to pull out that 129, 122. Same two teams just one week
going
later.
Tonight.
Back on TNT on Thursday night, 7:30. Can they repeat what they were able to do?
Andy, the Cavs have been so good. you shouldn't ignore the rest of the regular season, and you should certainly enjoy it because they're certainly entertaining and fun to watch, and they're playing really, really well. They've been so good that they've turned the attention, I think, of most people to the playoffs. Let's get there. Let's go. Because you know they're going to be there. You know chances are they're going to be, well, if they're not home court in the first round, things went drastically wrong. They could have home court advantage all the way through. That's what they're playing for the rest of the way in the regular season. Number one seed and home court advantage through the rest of the playoffs, which, of course, can go away with one loss.
Yeah, I always find it like baseball is the same kind of way. You got, you know, and I'll just say it based on the All-Star break because they're sort of in the middle of the season. And it's almost those games right before the All-Star break that start to drag. And then you come back on the other end of the break, and then the season just flies by. I don't know. Do you always feel the same way about that with the NBA? Like, it, you know, you're looking at this, and I'm looking at the schedule coming up. Three straight road games, Indiana, Oklahoma City, and Minnesota. Minnesota is Saturday at 9 o'clock. And then you come home against Phoenix. Then you're back on the road against Houston and Philly. The other side of the schedule compared to where they were in the beginning can start to take its toll.
Yeah, there's some pretty challenging teams coming up. You know, we'll see. They'll be tested. And to be honest, Andy, I'm as you watch what the Cavs are doing, you know, you just keep looking for different scenarios because the only scenario they've had so far is they keep destroying people and winning. So, you know, the one thing that's been in my head lately, gosh, I hope they get challenged a little bit more moving forward here and lose some games.
You're not really saying that.
No.
Okay.
So that they can sharpen up their skills in playing tight, contested basketball games. They've been so good. That's where I am. I mean, they've been so good.
I'm just looking back. So you're six. It was their last win. They lost, what, by more than 10, right, to Indiana, right? You lose by more than 10. But there just aren't that many close games on the schedule. Like, if you go back and look at what they've done so far this season, they're just not – like, I don't see – is there any nail-biters on there? I just – 3-point game against Boston. Yeah, that was a good one. But it's just like a lot of these are, you know, well, 4-point against Boston again, right?
And
even Denver. Denver's yeah. like 126-114.
Andy, and I don't even know if they need to have those skills sharpened up. You know what I mean? But – that's kind of what I'm looking at the rest of the way. Get the number one seed and sharpen up those competitive skills.
All right, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Let's roll on. We'll talk a little bit more about the Cavaliers, and I got some other stuff for you, too, so stick. 216-474-0092.